Welcome to the 24 hours of daylight in the mosquito capital of the world, known as Crapper Creek, Alaska. My name's Glenn, or I'm your host for the next 30 minutes or so of fun and hilarity. It'll get weird. It does every week. We thank you for joining us, and we'll make it worth your while. This week, we talk the Swedish sex championships, boomerisms, postal worker confessions, when to fake a smile. Master Chef Lizzie Hartman joins us again. Unwritten rules for men and women, and why the people in Missouri are idiots. All this week on the podcast.
Live from Crapper Creek, Alaska, the podcast.
Hour coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Lovely Maria possibly joins us. Idiot of the day. Random facts. Still got your nerd news later on as well. All right, school's out, and a lot of us have been out of school for a very long time. Spelling is one of those things. A few words that people always spell wrong, shenanigans. By the way, they did it state by state, the words that each state has trouble spelling the most. My Google searches, that was Michigan, shenanigans. Miscellaneous, oh, that's a good one. That's New Mexico. Embarrassed. A lot of folks forget it's got two R's and two S's. That's number one in Kentucky. Kindergarten in Minnesota. Professional in Wyoming. They can't spell that word. People in Kansas can't remember how to spell Tennessee. Other nine-letter words people struggle with. Beautiful, efficient, etiquette. Oh, that's a good one. North Carolina can't spell awesome. Really? Missouri has trouble with February. Iowa can't spell Thursday. You can't spell Thursday? Oh, Idaho. And Nevada has a real problem with the word problem. You can't spell the word problem? Etiquette, I get. All right? Efficient, maybe. Georgia can't spell queen. Pennsylvania can't spell people. But you know, because everybody always gets it wrong and puts an O first. But just think of the word people. That's how you remember. Like beautiful, B-A-utiful. You'll never misspell it. And some states struggled with four-letter words. Mississippi, they can't spell gray. That's good. Yeah, right? So that's just some of the words that people couldn't spell. And in Alaska, of course, it's this word.
Sitzpinkler. Sitzpinkler.
You have trouble with that one?
Sitzpinkler.
All right, if you've been listening to the show for a while and you're regular, you know exactly what that means.
Sitzpinkler.
It's a German word for men who sit down to pee.
Sitzpinkler.
Oh, it's no etiquette for Tennessee, but it's pretty damn good. All right, I've made no secret about it. I'm old. I'm getting there, man. I don't feel old. I don't feel like I should act old. I don't want to be old. A lot of people, like, just embrace it from an early age. I got friends that just, you know, got heavy, got bald, said to hell with it. I'm wearing slip-on shoes and elastic pants. I'm done. I'm not there yet. I'm not ready for that. Now, I am the boomers, right? We all, 20, 30 years ago, they called it that. That was like the only generation anybody, they had the great generation, then you had the boomers, and then nobody ever talked about anything else. Now we've got Gen Xers, Gen Zers, and millennials, and they just keep coming up with names. Now, I am on the cusp of boomer / Gen Z or Gen X. God, I don't know. I don't even know any. Which one is it? Which one that follows? I think it's Gen Z was next after boomers. Or is it Gen X, now Gen Z? I can't remember. But not surprisingly, people were having fun with what they call boomerisms, which are amusing, even for a lot of boomers. And I agree with a lot of these, not all of them. These are a list of very true boomerisms. Number one, boomers love calling salads rabbit food. See, just think of your parents with a lot of these. Boomers hate the plastic bag ban. Oh, don't they? Now, I was one of those that was not on board originally, but I am now, because I was always, well, what am I supposed to pick up my dog poop with? Boomers love to sit motionless in front of football games for 6 hours. Yeah, see, I probably could do that. Boomers hate it when you rely on GPS. See, the Gen Xer in me comes out, and I'm good. Or Gen Z, whatever the hell. Why do boomers hate when people sit on tables? I didn't know they did. Boomers love pointing out the holes in your jeans. Boomers love saying, if I sit down, I may never get back up. Yeah, they do. They also say, like, at the, you know, when the guy at the store can't find the price, they go, oh, must be it's free then. That's a total boomerism. Boomers hate paying their bills online. Maybe the old ones. Boomers love calling a signature John Hancock. Oh, God. Yes. Boomers hate avocado toast, pumpkin spice, and kombucha. Or kombucha. Kombucha? See, I can't even pronounce it. That'll tell you. I don't hate it. I do hate the pumpkin spice, but I'm all about the avocado toast. Again, must be the Gen Zer in me. Or X or whatever. Boomers love licking their finger before turning a page. These are so spot on. Boomers hate participation trophies, but love world's greatest dad mugs. Well, that's because we love who gave us the mug. Not that we feel we deserve it. Totally different things here. Can't use that one. Boomers hate millennials. No, we don't. Of course, until they're locked out of their iPad and can't play Candy Crush. Boomers love texting to tell you your voicemail is full. Boomers love to knock on locked bathroom doors. Boomers love to share fake controversial posts that say, I bet you won't share this. Oh, God, I got so many aunts and uncles that are down this rabbit hole. And finally, boomers hate being called boomers. Probably. No, we just hate the okay boomer thing. That's like mansplaining us. But, you know, that goes same for the Gen Zers. I mean, look at these younger Gen Zers. See, I think I'm Gen X, not Gen Z. Boomer slash X. Z is the younger ones. Because Gen Zers hate eye contact. Gen Zers think TikTok challengers are worth disfigurement. Apparently, Gen Zers love paying strangers to deliver their food from McDonald's. Gen Z loves to ride e-scooters in traffic. Gen Z hates capitalism and loves to buy t-shirts that say so. Gen Z loves to get a lone tattoo on the forearm. That's a Gen Z thing. Gen Z thinks God is a woman and her name is Taylor Swift. Gen Z loves to teach college professors what they should know about life. Gen Z hates capitalization. I don't know why. Gen Z likes tennis shoes with 4-inch soles. And Gen Z thinks it's dumb to use cash. It's smart to use pretend computer money. Gen Z, you are adorbs. By the way, Gen Z loves the word adorbs. Hey, that time of the week, you know, it's time where you need to be educated. And that's what we do, because we're going to talk science. Time for your nerd news. All right, let's take a look at the latest headlines. All right. Dancing peanuts, life on Saturn. Let's start with this. Scientists are explaining why peanuts seem to dance when they're dropped in beer. Basically, bubbles will form on the peanut, which causes them to rise, but then they pop and the peanut dives back down a little bit and then comes back up, then goes back down. Dancing peanuts. Bam! One barbette thing fixed, right? Scientists have discovered that life could be possible on Enceladus, one of Saturn's 146 moons. See, I had no idea Saturn had 146 moons. The key part is phosphorus, which has never been found on a planet before. Researchers were already aware of the existence of carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen, and sulfur on Enceladus. Enceladus? I don't know. I'm probably saying it wrong. Phosphorus is the last of the six life-sustaining elements needed. Now, that doesn't mean there is life. It just means that it might be possible, kind of. Hey, NASA's Curiosity rover sent a postcard showing Mars during different times of the day. Well, that's kind of cool. Did it have its eyes open? NASA says an asteroid the size of the Brooklyn Bridge is passing by Earth. They describe it as potentially hazardous, but astronomers say it's still 2.5 million miles away. So, dodge that bullet. That is your nerd news. Skip breakfast today? You shouldn't have. That's a foolish thing. Always get something in your gullet. Give you that little energy for the day. Well, if you did skip breakfast, maybe I can help out. It's not the same, but it is a foodie roundup. Hyah! All right. Taking a look at our foodie headlines. And we start with kind of a morbid foodie story. I got a list of some of the greatest rock stars that passed and their last meal. Ugh, kind of morbid. For instance, Jim Morrison of The Doors ate at a Chinese restaurant in Paris. Apparently he had sweet and sour dish and plenty of beers. Jerry Garcia of The Grateful Dead, he ate at an Italian restaurant with his wife. Freddie Mercury, one of the greatest singers ever from Queen, reportedly had spare ribs, but according to another report, his partner tried to feed him some mango as he was lying before he passed. Well, that's really sad. Karen Carpenter. Now, remember, didn't she... wasn't she anorexic? Isn't that what Karen Carpenter died of? Anorexia? But apparently here she got a shrimp salad from Bob's Big Boy with her parents, then later had tacos from a Mexican restaurant because she was still hungry. Doesn't sound like something an anorexic would have on their last meal. Kurt Cobain, cigarettes and Barks root beer. Jimi Hendrix, a tuna sandwich made by his girlfriend. Elvis, four scoops of ice cream and six chocolate chip cookies. Keith Moon of The Who, his girlfriend made him lamb cutlets. But other reports had steak and eggs, and Sid Vicious of the Sex Pistols, spaghetti. Okay. There we go. That's a morbid way to kick things off. Hey, you may not realize it, but you're inadvertently collecting sauce packets. Yeah, they're in your car, the kitchen drawer, the desk at work, school. Well, Heinz wants you to intentionally collect their sauce packets this summer. And you could win prizes. If you haven't noticed, they've been releasing special sauce package available through August. We were having fun with these. They have one for each state depicting a food from that state. That's why, yeah, you get a different food from each state. The more states you have, the more entries you get. So you want to collect all of them, basically. Don't worry, you don't have to go to every state to fill your collection. They're randomly shipping ones all over. Some have tartar sauce, barbecue, ketchup, mustard, mayo. I don't know what Alaska's is. I'll have to... It's a Sauce America campaign. It's the Heinz Ketchup Sauce America campaign. So, what is Alaska's? I have no idea. What is America? What is Alaska's sauce going to be? Is it going to be salmon dip? Is that what they're going to do? Tartar sauce? Something stupid. The most satisfying food sound. Stir fry vegetables. Rustle of a bag of potato chips. Popcorn popping. First bite of a crisp apple. Snapping a chocolate bar. Butter being spread on toast. Steak sizzling. Slicing a crust off of bread. No, the number one, the sound of sizzling bacon. Oh, I'm sure that's not even close, right? There's a new pizza vending machine on the way. It can cook multiple varieties, and they come out steaming hot. Oh, I'm sure those are delicious. Hey, a Hungry Dad TV dinner tray is available, but it's made entirely of ice cream, and it looks like what looks like chicken drumsticks. Huh? Believe it or not, 10% of people prefer using QR codes for restaurant menus. Let me guess, young people. Yeah, people in their 20s. Just give us a regular menu, will you? Stop it already. And finally, artificial intelligence has crafted a custom pizza. Detroit Pace Jane Jets Pizza enlisted an AI-powered chatbot to create a truly delicious pizza combination. It's a ranch veggie pizza topped with Jets ranch sauce, mozzarella, feta, mushrooms, peppers, olives, tomatoes. Great. Now we got robots making our pizza. Can't be worse than that. What that kid's pumping out at Pizza Hut, right? It's your foodie roundup. Yeah!
From the farthest north rock station in the world, it's the Crapper Creek Podcast.
I think I told you guys about this, and that's my insane cat, Wilson. He's really crazy. He's got his own Instagram page now. You want to see how crazy my cat is? You're on Instagram. Go to just search Wilson the Alaskan Cat. Wilson the Alaskan Cat, and you'll find his photos and videos. So my sister comes by to visit the other day, and he goes out and he sits on top of their car, and he won't leave. And they can't leave because they can't get him off the car. We were having trouble with a squirrel. So we always name the squirrels. And we had Henry up front. We had Karen from accounting that wouldn't shut up over by the cabin. And then we had this little one we called Cindy Lou Who. She got into the house. She chewed on my... She ruined the ropes on my hammock. And I was bitching about Cindy Lou Who. And Wilson's sitting there and he goes outside. Next morning we wake up. Cindy Lou's foot and tail are sitting in Maria's shoe. Yeah, you know, that little squirrel problem. Yeah, I took care of it. You know what I'm saying? I took care of it, all right? He's vicious, man. He was 6 months old. You know, he goes after the birds. You know, cats go after birds, okay. But a raven? He dismantled it in our front yard. It's like, oh my God. I just snuck up and snapped its neck and ripped it apart. It's like, oh God, it was twice your size. And a moose in the yard, always getting into the garden. Nope, Wilson stands his ground, will not let the moose in the yard. We have a little rental cabin. We had a guy in his U-Haul van, big U-Haul. He moved up here from Anchorage, buying a house in North Pole. So they had this huge U-Haul, and they get the U-Haul, and they go out to there in the North Pole, and they open it up. There's Wilson in the U-Haul. And he's killing all this stuff, and now we think he's hiding all of his, like his little pet cemetery is under our, I'm pretty sure it's under our deck. The smell of death and flies. It's his little pet cemetery. We're kind of frightened, because he's not right. I think he's from the pet cemetery. I think I found something really cool here. This is going to work out well for me. In Sweden, guess what they've done? Now, in a recent poll, 25% of Americans say they're not a big fan of sports in general. But that probably depends on how you define sports, because in Sweden, they've become the first country to register sex as a sport. It's going to be an actual event. Oh, I could dominate this thing. Of course, I'm going to have to get permission first.
Maria.
Hey, baby.
What's going on, hon?
I've always wanted to turn pro in a sport, and I found the sport that I could turn pro in.
What?
It's in Sweden. It's the first country to register sex as a sport. They're going to...
Oh, please.
They're going to host the first ever European Sex Championships, and it's more structured than you might think. It's being organized by the Swedish Sex Federation. That's a thing, sweetheart.
Yeah,
20 representatives from different countries take part. And there's like, you're judged on creativity, strong emotion, imagination, physical fitness, endurance, whether they can go more than once. And the challenges are grouped into 16 disciplines, including seduction, massage, oral relate, full-on intercourse, everything. Pose performance, I think I got a shot.
So you'll be doing it by yourself, huh? That'll be interesting.
Wait, what?
No.
I need a partner.
You're going to need a partner. Line them up, baby.
I'm sorry. I thought I would be very good at this.
I'm sure you would, but no.
Damn it. Great. Do they have a soloist category? I only have a couple tattoos. I'm not a big tattoo guy. I've got like a small lightning bolt on the arm. I've got the Made in Alaska logo on one calf. And on my other calf, I have the Three Crowns of Sweden. I got my tattoos and I thought it out long and hard about what I was going to get. You got to. I mean, some people just do these tattoo things on a whim and with much regret later. You got to think of a couple of things. A, is it going to still be cool, you know, when I'm older? Is this going to hold up? You got to think about that stuff when you get a tattoo. So I've got some interesting facts here about it. If you're thinking of getting some tattoos, I'm going to help you out with the next Rock Morning Show educational moment.
95.9 presents an X-Rock Morning Show educational moment.
In a survey, 82% of Americans say getting a tattoo is no longer a rebellious act. So here's some trivia. Did you know women with tattoos are more likely to engage in risky behavior? Which is why I always am on the lookout for women with tattoos. Getting a tattoo instantly makes you interesting. Yeah, as far as you know. Unfortunately for women, that dolphin on your lower back will look decidedly less sexy in about 10 to 15 years when your butt begins to droop to your ankles. The most popular tattoo is an angel. Least popular tattoo is TV legend Ed Asner. Did you know tattoos that disappear between one's cellulite rolls are called fattoos? Another interesting fact you may not know, 100% of all tattoos with Mandarin writing are tattooed on suburban white girls holding lattes. Tattoo, actually, the word originates from the Polynesian word ta, meaning sad cry for attention. Getting a tattoo of your boyfriend or girlfriend's name is the perfect way to ensure you're about to get dumped. Popular cartoon characters are often tattooed, including the most popular ones, the Tasmanian Devil, Batman, and Donald Trump. 45 million Americans now have tattoos, and my grandpa doesn't trust even one of them. Evidently, racists don't see the irony of symbolizing white pride by dyeing their skin black. Apparently, the average tattoo parlor in Fairbanks stays open until 1 hour after closing time of the nearest bar. And an interesting stat, it was celebrity movie star Johnny Depp who once said, "My body is my journal and my tattoos are my story." Of course, keep in mind, Mr. Depp also said, "Sure, I'll do Mordecai. Yes, I'll do another one of those pirate movies." What we're saying is don't go by Johnny Depp when it comes to getting your tattoos. I hope this has been helpful. One of the guys that's always on tour, always on a stage, always beating the skins, legendary rock and roll drummer extraordinaire, the one and only Carmine Appice, joining us this morning. Hi, Carmine. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. You guys sleeping there with that midnight sun?
No, sleep is for the week. That's what September is for up here, man. We don't get a lot of sleep up here this time of year. That sun is out. It's not dark. We won't see stars again for another 2 months.
I remember when I played there a few times. And, you know, we're done. It's like 12 o'clock at night. We're going out to a diner or something. I said, "God, look at this. It's like daytime."
Yeah, it's very strange. It is very strange. It takes, especially, you know, in your case, where you're coming from somewhere that has dark nights and all of a sudden, boom, it's For us, it's been a gradual thing that started last December, you know, and it's culminating at this. And now, pretty soon, we're going to be losing 7 minutes a day, and that'll culminate in December to the shortest day. So it never changes.
Right.
I would say it never changes, but it changes every damn day here. Carmine Appice, of course, now I tried to talk to you before, but you were getting on a plane. You've been busy. You're back in New York
right now.
What do you got going on? What's your gig in New York now?
Well, basically, we came here for my friend's 70th birthday party.
Okay.
Joe Calzone. He owns the Calzone Cases, Anvil Cases, on the 21st to do a Midwest little run. I'm doing two diary shows.
All right.
And then I'm doing three shows of Vanilla Fudge.
All right. So now your diary shows, that's where you get up, you play drums, you tell stories and what have you.
Yeah.
And then you also have three shows with Vanilla Fudge. Which is awesome, because you know they want you to play "Keep Me Hanging On" as much as possible, because that's that. Now, how many times do you think you've played that song?
Oh God, not as many times as Rod Stewart sang "Maggie May." Put it that way.
Oh, is that right? What do you think the number is on that?
We stopped from 1970 to really 2000. You know, he was playing that song all the way through for 30 years.
Wow.
You know, when we stopped. But now here he's going to go into swing music, which is cool because I'm starting to do the rock experience again.
Right.
I got my first gigs. So that will be the only ones that look and sound like Rod from the 70s.
Right. Because now he put out one of those swing albums and stuff some years back, and it did pretty well for him. So he's kind of been hanging out in that alley, hasn't he?
Not the same. Not the same, though. Those weren't swing. Those are more...
Crooner
stuff. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
I don't know. He might be doing Maggie May and Hot Legs and all that in a swing version. I don't know.
I was looking at a list of artists and the songs they've played the most. AC/DC has played The Jack 1,743 times. Foo Fighters with Everlong are up there. Kiss, Rock and Roll All Night, 2,164.
Yeah, I would think Kiss would be one of the winners of that. You know,
you would think so, just because they tour all the time. They've been around a long time. And you know, the one on here that's not on here is the Rolling Stones. How many times do you think they've played Satisfaction?
Oh my God!
Right?
Really? They're the oldest one.
Right. The other old one on here is Alice Cooper. School's Out. That was almost 3,000 times.
The Rolling Stones were way before Alice Cooper.
Right, and they've been playing that. I bet you that one might be the most played song.
Yeah.
Right.
Without a doubt. And they're still playing it.
But you guys have done, of course, your song probably. You keep me hanging on.
We've done it a bunch of times.
Yeah.
But nowhere near these other ones.
Right,
I think we might have done ours, I don't know, maybe 500, 600, 700 times.
All right. Well, next week, Carmine, when we talk, I've got classic rock covers that went terribly wrong when bands tried to cover someone else's song. Yours is not on this list because yours is one that did quite well. We're going to talk about that next week. Have a great time and have some good shows. We'll talk to you on the road.
I hope my Peace for Domo cover of Running Up That Hill is not on that list.
No, it is not. It is not. Thanks, Carmine.
Okay. Hey, dude.
Well, we had her in the cabin a couple of weeks ago when she was competing on Master Chef, representing the West and representing the great state of Alaska. She did great. And man, she passed with flying colors. She's on to the next round. She's on tonight. And we're so excited to have her back with us in the cabin again. Lizzie's back with us. Lizzie Hartman now. A couple of weeks ago... Hi, Lizzie.
Hi.
Now, a couple weeks ago, Lizzie was on with us, and it was right before, of course, if you've been watching Master Chef, you know. And they're doing the whole regional competition, and you're representing the West, and there was probably 10, 12 cooks on the chefs.
Yep.
And not only did you make it to the next round, but I don't think anybody had your kind of score. I mean, they, like, all four, you got four yeses.
Four yeses. And Gordon put my apron on me.
Yes.
I'm the only one he did that to this
season.
Yes.
You were coronated by the king.
I was.
That, did he? And you told me he smelled good.
Oh, he smelled great. I could have stayed there for a second.
All right. So now, Lizzie, so you're off to the next round. Now, obviously, we can't say anything more. It is on tonight at 7 o'clock.
Yep.
And that's on Fox.
Yep, the local Fox station.
All right, so that'll be on at 7 o'clock, MasterChef tonight. Well, Lizzie, this is so exciting. It's so cool. Now, and it was interesting to see some of the other folks and some of the one thing that I noticed that the ones that was just this, they were colorful. And not just their meals, but the people.
Yes.
Were very colorful, like yourself. Just very vibrant, very... And you had there was a spark. Some the gal from Hawaii.
Yes, Madame Donut.
Madame Donut was. Mm-hmm. I think she kind of surprised me. I did when she was talking about her donuts and thing. I was going, all right. Well, you know, does she have the chops in this area? You know, you're not making donuts. And she did pretty well.
She did fantastic.
Pretty impressive. I was surprised. Now you did a salmon, right?
Halibut.
Or no? Excuse me, halibut.
Yeah.
Because a number of people did halibut, but none of them. Got the praise that yours did.
Correct.
One of them didn't get any praise.
Yeah.
And didn't make it. Another one did.
Yes.
And then somebody else did salmon.
Yep.
And they didn't like the salmon. And she was supposed to be the salmon queen.
Yeah.
She even had the word salmon tattooed inside her bottom lip, and she didn't make it.
Nope. She told me I should get halibut in mine.
No, apparently that's a kiss of death. Don't do that, right?
Correct.
Did you tell her you're from Alaska? Excuse me. No, ours will say salmon, but it'll have the word real in front of it.
Exactly.
Wild.
Yes.
It'll have the word wild. Say. Yes. She should have had the word wild salmon.
She should have. She's actually coming up to fish with me maybe later this season. So
you're going to teach her some good salmon fishing.
We sure are.
Good for you. Right on. You're going to take her down. She can't go to Chitna, so she can't get the Copper River Reds.
No, not Copper River Reds.
You can go get her a king, maybe some silvers or something. All right.
Yep.
Well, wonderful. Now, obviously, so you've made some good friends on this show.
I sure have. They were all so unique and weird and quirky and fun.
So, and that's something you all seem to have in common. And I think it's the artistic side of cooking.
Yep.
It's that slightly if you're an artist, if you do comedy, if you do art or anything, there is a quirkiness aspect to the way your brain works.
Yes.
And I notice it in you, and I notice it in a lot of the people on this show.
Yeah. The West definitely brought the artsy, quirky side.
And rightfully so.
Oh, yes.
I mean, I'm surprised of the the Midwest or the South. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
And I've been watching some of the other regions and everything. So tonight, 7 o'clock, Fox. We get to see Fairbanks' own Lizzie Hartman back on MasterChef competing for the next round. Now, if you make it tonight, what happens after that? Do you even... I can't...
Yeah.
It's so funny because I don't know, but I know that you are contractually obligated not to spill the beans, and we wouldn't really want you to.
Yeah.
What else can you tell us about how this thing continues and progresses?
Yeah, well, there's 20 contestants. Every week is a new challenge. Every week someone goes home. So...
One person goes home out of that 20?
One person out of the 20, yeah.
Okay, so this could go on for a while.
This could go on for
a
while.
Yay! Well, I'm excited to see how it turns out. Congratulations
Thank
on
you.
What you've done. You've
Thank
made
you.
Us all proud. It's wonderful. The folks at the UAF and the Culinary Arts have just got to be thrilled. Did you put a shout out to them on a show?
Oh, yeah. I told every producer, every interview about my culinary team back in Alaska, about Chef Sean, about the crew.
Because I don't know if they used any of that.
They
I think they
didn't.
Showed a shot, but they should have. So I'm sure they will, because that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. So, yeah, Sean and the crew, just a wonderful group up there.
They sure are.
All right. Lizzie Hartman, good luck tonight.
Thank
7
you.
O'clock Fox, Master Chef with Lizzie. It's going to be awesome.
From the farthest north rock station in the world, it's the Crapper Creek Podcast.
Well, I guess we can all breathe easier now that the pandemic is officially over. The COVID health emergency. President Biden last week officially ending the COVID-19 health emergency. And now, if you remember, I believe it was Norway who did it like a year and a half ago. Said, no, we're done. And they just ended it then. And you know what? They were fine. Yeah. The World Health Organization ended the global health emergency. The reality is there are no fixed borders on a pandemic, right? COVID deaths all trending down. all of that. For example, for immigration, the U.S. can no longer deny asylum and migration claims for public health reasons. So that's over. Well, I guess that's good. And now comes all the hassle with insurance and health track, all that. So, oh, good. Yeah, sure, it's over. Finally, vaccination requirements for federal workers and international travelers entering the U.S. will no longer be in effect. That means we can get some folks back here, some of these young folks to come back and work for the summer. So I think, well, it'll be good. But I don't know. What do you remember about the pandemic? Is there certain things you remember? Ah, the good old days. I remember it well. It's like it was yesterday, isn't it? Remember the fun we had? The fist fights over toilet paper? Spraying our apples with Lysol? Elbow bumping grandma? That thin layer of dust collecting on all of our pants in the closet? Wrapping our face in a bandana like a stagecoach robber? Netflix and chilling with a gay tiger wrangler? Oh, those were the days! Cutting our bangs with the coupon scissors? Teachers trying to discipline our kids over Zoom. Self-righteous D-bags who always say, I believe in science. Wasting perfectly good tequila to make hand sanitizer. Mask acne. And who can forget Dr. Joe Rogan? Or ridiculous little thin mask. Some people still wearing the masks. I get. Are they still going to wear it now that this has been the claim? I don't understand their end game. Are they just going to wear masks forever now? And if it's not an N95, you're doing it wrong anyway. Take off the damn mask. Ah, good times, good times. That was fun. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget, we do it every week. Every Friday about noon, a new podcast drops. Just 30, 40 minutes of weirdness. We kind of do it rapid fire, and we thank you. We also ask, as always, share this, would you? With 5 friends. Pass along and check us out elsewhere, live from Crapper Creek, Alaska, for the podcast, the YouTube channel, the Twitter handle, and, of course, the Crapper Creek General Store, where you can buy swag. I'll catch you on the radio on X-Rock 959 Monday through Friday. That's xrock959.com if you want to rock out with us. Next week on the podcast, we talk about Grandpa the Influencer, unwritten rules for men and women. Legendary rocker Carmine Appice joins us, and we talk about really shitty rock covers. What not to do at family get-togethers. We talk about bees with Dr. D and Crocs with truck nuts. Next week on the podcast. We'll see you.
You've been listening to Live from Crapper Creek, the podcast with Glenner, produced by Mike Cook. For the full morning show, log on to the live stream at xrock959.com. This has been a Glenn Entertainment production.